Heroes Not Included is a serialized story podcast featuring actual play of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast own their respective trademarks, copyrights, and related materials. A special thanks to all the great people at Wizards of the Coast for all their hard work creating wonderful games for us to play. Previously on Heroes Not Included.
And the Babu.
And the Babu died. Mm-hmm. Both of them teleported away?
No, I got into his head.
Oh, right.
The suggestion was given.
I gave him the suggestion of going and getting the lady for us.
Oh.
And then he tried to open the door and he couldn't open the door, so he just ripped it off.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bit awkward.
Okay.
It was a little weird.
It was so chaotic.
But if I recall, you delivered the letter, and you traveled back to Sigil.
Heroes Not Included.
You see the gentleman who hired you come shuffling out of the pub.
Just a hood, essentially?
Yep. Kind of shuffles over near you. He says, quickly, come inside.
Yeah, I hustle inside.
Yeah, I follow.
He leads you towards the back of the tap room to a table. And he sits down and he says, Do you have her letter?
I flip the bag open again. Uh-huh. And reach in and grab it.
Okay. Hand it to him. As soon as he takes it, he smells it.
Good stuff, right?
You did it. You did it. And he rips it open and he begins reading. And he lets out this sigh. My love continues to live. What are the Betezu? I saw that you were rushed when you left. Did they live?
They're dead. Their corpses litter the road like the rest of them.
Good.
About our payment?
Yes. Your payment. He says, did you encounter much difficulty?
Nah.
Well, I mean, yes. Yes, we did.
It was quite difficult.
We did get tackled by
those
Betezu.
Get me all bruised up.
There are these weird mouth monster things.
Mouth monsters and all sorts of traps. And her place was kind of sketch. I don't know if you've been there, but...
Punched a gorilla.
We did. That was a gorilla to be punched.
Did any of the Tenari escape?
Oh.
I'm not sure. There was a lot of chaos, it being the Abyss and all.
We saw one of them ground up. That will be on the inside of my eyelids.
Yes, one of them, the gorilla.
Well, I promised you 2,000 gold and 2 magical items.
Each.
And so he puts out...
Each was at the end of that, if I recall.
He puts out 3 bags.
Alright.
And is this all the lady's gold?
Like Sigil's gold.
You can take a look.
I take a look.
Yeah, inside you see coins stamped with their official coinage of Sigil.
Excellent.
2,000 gold each, and you see 2 potions.
I take a little taste.
Take a little taste. The 2 potions in your bag, Aspen, are potions of healing. It's the same for everyone.
Okay.
You have 2 potions of healing, and 2,000...
Standard potions of healing?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But 2,000 gold.
He didn't specify what kind of magical items.
True that.
But thankfully, we're in Sigil, where we can get anything we want.
Thank you so much. I am glad to see that you were successful. Perhaps, if this has proven lucrative enough for you, you may consider assisting me in the future.
I say, buddy, I don't mean to get all up in your business, but that girl's trouble, with a capital T.
This is all. But she is a very special kind of trouble. All love is trouble.
I see a headboard. And manacles in your future. And an eternity in a mouthless husk scream. But, hey, better to live and loved
been loved and been turned into a husk, right? And then I walk out the door to stand in the street.
Okay. And the two of you, Erok,
Aspen? Yeah, feel free to look us up again.
Thank you. No one has returned successfully.
Uh-huh. Well.
Yeah, but it's going to be a little more next time, just to preface
that. Yeah,
we're
probably going to specify the caliber of the magic item beforehand.
Yeah. There was a lot that happened that wasn't really told to us that was, you know. I mean, we're great and all.
He says, I know, but I was afraid that if I had told you, you would have said no.
Mm. Well, next time you should tell us, and we'll charge you appropriately.
If no Tanari escaped, then you shouldn't have to worry about any retribution. All right, so the two of you then join Baron in the street.
Yes.
I've drunk the two healing potions. I just kind of got acquainted with the taste.
Well, then.
Roll up how much they gave you.
What is it? 2d4 plus 2 for each one?
2d4 plus 4.
6. 8.
Nice. 14 hit points.
14 total. Nice. A moment later, you see he exits the tavern and he kind of looks down the street both ways.
Have I ever been able to get a good look under his hood?
No.
Okay. Probably just some human that's all enthralled by her. Although those bat tattoos didn't want us going, they wouldn't have given it that hole. They would have been like, oh, he's getting eaten by suckers.
This is like a classic Romeo-Juliet situation.
Okay.
And he scurries down the road in the opposite direction from where you're standing.
I go, well, off to Sabuku.
Yeah.
Tobacco.
Collect the rest of our money.
Tobacco.
That's Sabuku, I think.
That's what I said.
Close. Oh, Baron.
You make your way to Tsuboko's office, which is, you know, near the Great Bazaar. And you enter in through the door, and a little bell goes off.
We're back from the abyss.
I just think that in my head.
You just think that in your head. And he kind of placidly looks at all three of you.
Man, I wish we could have killed that succubus.
That would have been fun, wouldn't it?
Mm.
That was not the job. We did complete the job.
Yes, we did. Payment, please.
And he reaches these long blue fingers behind the counter, and he pulls out three small bags. And they make a chinking noise as they land on the
Do they make wood. A trinking noise?
They make a trinking noise as they land on the counter.
I open it up.
You hear in your head, Aspen, per our arrangement, you see the gold that was promised you.
Which was how much?
200?
That was 300.
Oh, I don't really care. I've got 2,000, over 2,000 now.
You don't
know what that means.
You know, there's a good proverb about, you know, never look in another person's bowl.
What?
I don't know. I started out as a fighter.
I see.
But it was highlighted by the previous owner of the book. I thought you'd all be very impressed when I said it.
I think, any more jobs? Or when shall we come back?
You can check tomorrow. I should have something for you. He says, are you still staying at Blink House?
Mm-hmm. Yes. See, no need to move.
I do think I do need to stock up on some healing potions, though.
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be good to own some.
I agree. So I think, I go, is the bazaar a great place to get prime healing potions?
The good stuff.
The stuff that I can drink.
Oh, he says, you don't want anything from the prime. Go to Karuth.
Okay, so I feel like I have to ask this. Karuth, is that a name, a building, an existence plane, a planet, or a state of mind?
I think Baron's slowly getting the hang of this place where he's found himself now. He's learning to go, that could be anything at this point. He sells supplies from across the plain. You can find him in the bazaar.
Sounds great.
All right, why don't we head up?
All right. So you begin kind of wandering through the bazaar past a whole variety of little shops and little carts and, you know, little booths and things, until finally you see a sign that says Karuth's. above.
This is the place.
Above a little cart and booth sort of set up.
This feels almost normal.
A cart booth?
And you see standing behind, you see standing in the booth behind a counter, looks to be...
A fish.
No. Looks to be a half elf, if one half was a dwarf. Imagine an elf the height of a dwarf and the build of a dwarf.
A dwelf. And a new race is born.
What are you playing? I'm playing a dwelf. And he sees you all kind of looking at the booth and he says, "What can I do you for today?" You see, he kind of leans forward and he gives a sniff.
We've been around.
He says, "Primes."
Actually, we just got back from the abyss. So.
And before that, Bator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you people smell this stuff?
Good stuff.
He says, "Oh, once you know what to smell, it's for it's easy. It's like accents. You never forget."
Interesting. How do we get rid of the smell? Not that I would want to. I'm kind of like a seasoned walk at this point.
He says, yeah.
All the flavor.
Years of stench.
Years. Like a good cast iron. You just wipe yourself down.
It's neutralized at this,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if one of them's removed, oh, God help us.
He says, I don't know. Jonpa has been here at least a few centuries, and he still smells of the prime.
Well, we're here looking for some healing potions.
Yes, of supreme nature.
Or better.
Well, or less.
What's
basically any healing potions you got. Let's hear about them.
He says, "I do happen to have some superior and some supreme potions of healing."
And what would be your cost of both versions?
3,000 each.
That's fair. Now, let me tell you.
I do have a few of greater healing around here somewhere.
It might be your lucky day, because I have something to barter with. And I reach in my bag, and I pull out my tongs that come with my smith set.
Okay.
And I go, okay. And then I reach back down again, and I pull out that gross Batazu sword.
Okay.
That we took from that seemingly high-level person.
Okay.
And I kind of just... I put it onto his desk, and it falls onto the floor. I pick it up again, and I sit it on this time again, and just line it back up. And I say, "Look at that."
Like trying to play something this guy.
Yeah,
you have a stick, and at the end of your
I walk to the front of the building, and I push it on
the
door frame until it goes like into this direction, and now I come back around with it.
Yeah, it's like bubblegum. And then all you have to do is leave and come back, and then it'll be on the floor.
Everything here really offends me. I will not even touch it. But it hurt the... More than human's grace. it hurt, like...
He looks at it and he goes, "Ah, a longsword of a Batazu." It says, "Green steel." And he looks real closely at it and he says, "There's poison on the blade."
Oh, yeah. Still passing it.
He says, "I'll give you 1,000 for it."
Done deal. Then I'll take one of them fat healing potions, and I put 2,000 on the table.
Okay, he hands you a potion of superior healing.
I actually had 2 potions of superior healing, apparently.
Now you have 3.
I'm just not very good at managing this now. And I give that to Erok.
Oh, thank you.
Didn't you give me a potion?
I did.
And, like, save me back there?
So what about those graders?
The 2 potions of greater healing that he happens to have, he's selling for 400 gold apiece. He has 2 of them.
What if you give me the beginning a new customer relationship discount? Because I promise that I will come here and only here to buy my health potions.
Roll it.
Persuasion?
Yeah, you're gonna have to roll it. Like he hasn't heard that line.
Yeah.
From a clueless from the plains.
10.
Whatever that feels like.
10. He says, "Oh, yeah, for you especially," he says, "the price will be 400 gold pieces. A piece."
Fine, I'll take them both. And I plunk down 800 gold.
Okay.
Plunk.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Do you have anything or know of anything that might be helpful in maintaining the magical quality of my items as we travel.
Yes. By now you must have noticed. He says, I imagine that all of your things came with you from the Prime?
Yes.
Correct.
Including my faith.
He says, well, yeah, some things travel better than others. He says, well, he might not be willing to sell to you, but Beatles, Bobs, and Whizzes is a shop filled with magical supplies near the Civic Feast Hall. He collects all sorts of interesting, useful, and strange things from across the plains of magical nature. But he almost always only sells to sensates. Might be worth a shot, though. Otherwise, you should check in with Tarmac, a tiefling. She runs a booth. He kind of looks around, and he... about 300 or 400 feet that way.
Well, I mean, I guess we can check her out first and see if she has anything, and then go see the sensate guy.
Sounds good. Let's do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. You've been super helpful.
Yep.
Caruth, with the cart booth.
What exactly would keep our stuff stabilized?
I don't know. An amulet? A ring?
Maybe.
A cape? Could be anything.
A cape.
I already have one, but you can never have too many capes.
That one's good.
On that, you and Mark would probably agree. Okay.
I suggest a rest of the long variety.
We'll take one tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to run into any trouble with the...
unless you think the...
I'm spending hit dice.
Always prepared, Baron.
Always prepared. All right. You kind of wander through the stalls and the little shops until you see a tiefling who has a stall set up with a whole variety of glass cases. They seem to be flipping through a book.
Excuse me, miss?
She looks up.
We're looking for something that will help maintain the magical integrity of our items across the plains.
Oh... Primes, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but
she leans forward and she gives a sniff.
I just don't like all the smelling.
I sniff myself. I'm getting self-conscious.
I thought you'd be used to it by now, given your patina.
What?
She goes, oh, not only are you primes, but you have just been through the worst.
Been through hell.
And you've been.
Oh.
You're really choosing the choice locations, I see.
Yeah, not bad choice. I muttered.
Well, it is rumored that there is something that you can affix to items that will make them less prone to misbehaving across the plains. But you'll have to speak to Beetle about that.
That's what we heard, but we were also told to check here, too, so...
I don't have any of them. If I did, I'd be happy to sell you one.
What do they usually go for?
I've heard them going for as much as... 25,000?
We're gonna be doing a lot more trips to the Abyss.
Seems that way.
Well, I think we honestly should have charged more for that trip to the Abyss.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, 2,000 gold in whatever world you're in. That's
6,000, right?
6,000 gold? That's a...
It's hefty.
That's a hefty... I mean,
it was asking us, like, you know, could you please go to the literal worst place ever.
And deliver a justice letter.
Yeah.
Worse than
the first I've sent.
worse than Avernus?
They're in the same bucket.
Just right about the same.
They're all the worst place to
have. Yeah. Yeah, they're very expensive and they're highly sought after.
I can imagine.
One of the things that might be cheaper for you, though, is simply to buy magical items to use here on the plane.
I held my hammer.
Blasphemy! Blasphemy!
It'll never tear us apart.
Only Moradin makes the magical items that are worthy of anyone to use.
Yeah, those are all tricks, I know.
Well, I mean, we're pretty fond of our stuff.
She's got horns!
Yeah. Well...
I guess we should go talk to Beetle, and maybe he can give us some work instead.
What's the likelihood that Beetle's going to deal with us?
Are any of you sensates?
No.
I could be for the right price.
I rub my chest. Yeah.
I feel nothing.
Well, what are the factions to which you belong?
I'm a free leader, so I'm kind of a low priority on that. Didn't exactly believe I was going to be signing up for factions when I got here.
My young gnome, let me give you a little piece of advice. When you're on the Prime, your thoughts are your own. When you're on the Plains, your thoughts make reality. These factions are shaping the Plains as we speak.
Well, let's say you join a faction.
I stroke my beard and go,
Let's say you join a faction that is a lawful one. The larger their numbers, the more lawful the Plains become.
My eyebrows go up.
It's
so simple. It just means we need to do some witnessing.
Baron's like, do you have any booklet stands?
I need a tent.
I'm going to stand on the corner. I'm going to hand out these little flyers, little comics.
And 14 saucy singers.
But you're not just joining a group. You're shaping the nature of the Plains.
Okay. Not really my ballgame.
If Beetle is of no use to you, come back. Maybe you'll find something here that will interest you.
Fair
enough.
All right. You begin making your way towards the Civic Fest Hall.
I wonder if it's hard to change factions. There wasn't really a lot of paperwork to get into a faction.
Yeah, it was really easy.
I wonder what
stuff... But there's room in the governor's.
Is faction fraud a thing?
I didn't even sign anything. I just took a token. So, easy peasy.
It takes you a little while to get there. You finally arrive at the Civic Fest Hall, and it's dusk. Or dawn? You're not sure.
I hope his shop is still open.
But you see a variety of people milling about, and as is common, you see a variety of people busking and performing in the streets. It doesn't take you long to find Beetle's Bobs and Whizzes, as he has a large wooden sign above his storefront that flashes blue and then purple and then green and then blue and purple and then green.
What a great sign.
All right, we are going in this shop because we need Beetle to help us.
To sell us.
Some type of item that will make your hammer less affected as we travel.
I have a feeling this will come at painful cost.
It could.
All right, let's go ahead.
But your hammer is really important to you. Have you forgotten?
It's very important. Important to all of you. All of your livelihood. All of your,
I mean, sure,
your
maybe.
Lives depend upon it.
Perhaps.
And you can see from looking through the window that the shop looks absolutely packed out.
With stuff or with people?
With stuff.
Oh. I open the door.
You open the door and a little bell chimes.
I love your sign.
And you can see come sliding from out of one of the little nooks and crannies is a gnome.
Ah, my people.
His hair has three colors to it.
Ah.
Green, blue, and purple.
So refreshing. And I love the branding.
He kind of slides out and he says, ah, I am Beetle, and welcome to my Bobs and... Primes! Oh, Primes. Welcome to the Plains.
I just feel kind of violated when they smell like this.
I mean,
they
don't wince. We've kind
of been
here.
It's like a cinnamon and cardamom kind of thing.
Maybe.
But he says, if I'm not mistaken, you're not entirely clueless, are you? Beetor, the Abyss. Well, well. One does get around. What can I do for you? What is it that you want?
What is a wheezes? A wheeze?
A wheeze? Oh, a wheeze can be a whole variety of things. It is a term used to refer to those things that wizards use. Wizards use wheezes.
Why would have thought you would have known that?
I lean over to Baron and I go, I don't know what he's talking about. We don't use wheezes.
That just makes me question your value as a wizard.
Baron? Do we need to turn you into a dragon or stone giant again, my friend?
I no idea what you're talking
I particularly
about.
Like the Brontosaurus. That was fun.
Yes, yeah, the Brontosaurus.
Or was it an Apatosaurus?
Well, all I know is that you're in Sigil, and if you really want to screw with Baron, you give him True Sight.
No, I can't ride that snake again.
True Sight Sigil. Oh.
That would be off-putting. He says, are you looking for a few wheezes?
Well, my good sir, we were told that you may perhaps be in possession of some sort of item that will help maintain the magical integrity of our items across the plains.
You brought them from the Prime, no doubt.
Well, I mean, there's one in particular that we're particularly concerned about because its owner is a little bit, perhaps, stubborn. But we are interested in...
I think he means you!
What? It's just a cloak of protection, Ben.
Get
it's
over
one,
it.
It's, I just feel slightly
it's,
more
it's
armored.
It's not like his mom sewed it for him.
She's dead.
On her death.
Says, ah, yes. I know just the thing that you're looking for.
And I know just the gnome who wants to help you remove it from your collection at a reasonable price.
He says, follow me, follow me. And he kind of winds you through all this sort of path through all of the stuff.
I love it. I'm looking at everything.
The first thing that is glaringly obvious is that it is not organized in any fashion that is immediately divinable by you in any way.
It's very organic.
I love this place.
The organic layout.
The amount of disorder in here is a little off-putting for you, Baron. It seems that whoever this beetle is, they've just kind of haphazardly stacked things in various places.
Oh, how did they find anything in this mess?
If it fits, that's where he puts it. And what you cannot figure out for the life of you is how all of this stuff fits into this small space.
Magic.
But yes, magic would probably be the case.
Ruin! You ruined my experience of the shop, Aspen.
Just ruin the experience for everybody. Way to go.
You can't see the magic strings holding everything up.
Let me guess. Next thing you know, you're going to tell everybody that Darth Vader's Luke's father. Way to go.
Spoiled! I haven't even seen that yet.
So, he winds you through all this until you come to a case. And in the case, you see laid out in a row, sitting on green felt, you see these little gold squares that are probably an inch long and half an inch wide. And stamped into them, you see little symbols. It almost looks like a tiny gold rectangle. And he says, these are keepers. You take this along with the item in question to an accomplished smithy. He joins the two items together, and it will make them far more durable as you travel the plains. But I must warn you, they are rather expensive.
Like how expensive?
Yeah, what range are we talking about here?
He says, well, it depends on the item that you wish to affix it to.
Say, perchance, a magic sentient hammer.
I didn't know your cloak was sentient.
Or a hammer.
Oh, right. It's got a hammer.
I don't know if I want anything affixed to me.
Would you rather be dead on some planes?
Stick it on the top one.
He says, these first four are for weapons, and they are 25,000 gold apiece. But you strike me as the entrepreneurial sort, he says as he points at Aspen.
It is true, I have done many a business.
I actually am in need of something.
Please tell me more, good sir.
He says, would you be willing to fetch something for me, and in exchange, I will give you a very generous discount.
I come from an economy that's almost entirely run on favors, so sure.
I'm good for it.
He says, if you were to do me this favor, I would consider selling this to you for 5,000.
Whoa. This is going to be a big favor.
You see, I'm looking for a dwarven sage named Zerkuk. I need some information regarding gates and portals, and they tell me he's the best blood in the business. Unfortunately, he up and died on me just yesterday, the Burke. What I would like is for you to find him. Apparently, he's gone to the Dwarven Mountain to do some research in the Soot Hall of Dugmarin Brightmantle.
They said he up and just...
died.
Died. Zara Cook died?
Yeah.
And
that's
he...
why he's at the Dwarf Mountain.
Oh.
Does Baron figure that... Would you even have figured that out, Aspen?
He said he died.
Yeah.
And then he said he was at the Dwarf Mountain.
Yeah, he says that he died just yesterday.
What's to figure out?
I think as a cleric, I would probably...
Well, the only question you would probably have is, wait, he died, so why... So now he's doing research?
Yeah.
Like, what? See if he's interested in coming back here to answer a couple of questions for me. Tell him I've got the chant on how to ascend in the mountain. That should prick his ears. Now... To get to Dwarven Mountain, just down the street is a blacksmith's shop. And the key to the portal is a dwarven wrought hammer.
Oh, I like the sound of that!
Yeah. I do like dwarven hammers.
Simply place the dwarven hammer on top of the barrel behind the shop, and it will take you to Dwarven Mountain. Bring him back here, and like I said, I'll be happy to sell you this particular key for 5,000 gold. This first review comes from Glenatron in UK.
Glenatron.
The name is somewhat inaccurate, as there are definitely some heroes included in this enjoyable adventure through the classic D&D setting of Faerun. A Dungeons & Dragons actual play, this follows a story being created by a team of roleplayers and their GM, with dice rolls acting to throw spanners into the works. The sound quality is good, voices are clear, having background music adds to the atmosphere of the show, and it is sharply edited, which keeps things snappy and conversational, without so many pauses for dice rolls and game mechanics that could interrupt the flow. Everyone stays in character most of the time, but the atmosphere is lighthearted, with occasional rambles off track into goof territory. All in all, this show is lighthearted, fun, and easy to listen to. There you have it.
Comedy is my defense mechanism.
I'm definitely a goof. So I'm glad my territory is recognized.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I'm so glad you're back in E-Rock now and can actually do
yes,
it.
Yes, it's true. I know. It's true. Well, thank you, Glenatron, for the great review. Heroes Not Included, the whole idea behind the title is the sense that you can pick up a role-playing game, but... You know, you yourself have to provide the heroes. So, but we are glad that you are enjoying it, and thanks for listening. Along with that, we also have a review from Graflicon Laughshield.
That's what I would have. That's how I would have pronounced it.
Yeah, yeah, Graflicon Laughshield. Maybe of the Gontalgrim Laughshields. Mm-hmm. I don't know. 5 stars. And they say, the amount of thought that goes into the world building and the characters is insane. I listened to a setup episode, and most of it was just place setting. But it was all so interesting, it didn't feel like setup. Also, I am a sucker for background scoring, and this podcast really nails that aspect. A very great actual play podcast just got added to my podcast list. Thank you very much, Laugh Shield.
Our background music is almost always done by a French musician who goes by multiple names online. You can find them at Loyalty Freak Music.
Oh, okay.
They also go by Chez Mon Plaisir on Facebook and Alpha Hydre on Twitter. And that's usually where most of our background music comes from. They're a really great artist, and all of their stuff is actually common licensed, so you can just go and grab it and use it.
Wonderful.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Laugh Shields, for adding us to your podcast list. Thanks for being a listener, and we're glad that you are enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Our next review comes from Steel Empire, and they say...
Must be from Ohio.
Steel Empire? Yeah, could be.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Ohio. They say, this show gets a 5-star review for its excellent storytelling. If you're looking for an actual play D&D show, this will scratch your itch. It's easy to see the players all enjoy rolling at the table with one another. Listen in and join the game. We do mostly enjoy playing at the table with one another. We have a lot of fun. It helps that, you know, we all try to shower beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
At least now.
That's, at least now, yes. You know, now that we have a show, we feel, you know, we shower.
After the team meeting. You
know, we put our best foot forward for each other. You wouldn't want to have been here before, but now it's, you know, lavender and patchouli. Well, thank you, Steel Empire, for a great review. We're so glad that you are enjoying the podcast. Our last review of this evening comes from B. Corbeau, and they say, I just finished the first season, and I'm absolutely enamored with this podcast. The GM's extremely talented in their storytelling. Thank you. And the characters are all unique and well-developed.
Thank you.
While I'm sad I'm late to the game, I'm very excited to have so many episodes to catch up on. I'm honored to be able to support such an exceptional podcast and look forward to many more adventures to come. Keep up the great work, and thank you for all you do.
No, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, seriously, thank you. That's a fantastic review. You know, we have a lot of fun. Storytelling is important. Characterization's important. Everybody at the table puts a lot of time and effort in their characters.
And there are a lot of episodes to catch up on. We just hit episode 50 last week.
What?
Episode 50. Yes, indeed. Dang. I can't tell you how often I answer instant messenger questions from Richie about Baron.
I'm obsessed.
When it comes to putting in the time to make characters unique and well thought out, let me tell you.
I've got a second draft of the tax codes for Phandelin.
Well, thank you for all of those great reviews. Thank you to everyone who listens. Please, if you have a moment, stop by iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Keep them coming.
Leave us a review. You can leave us a review also on Facebook. And if you really like us, don't forget to stop by our Patreon page and check out what we have going on there.
Thank you for listening to Heroes Not Included. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today using your favorite podcast app. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review us. We'd love to hear from you. Find all of our episodes on our website at heroesnotincluded.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/heroesnotincluded. And finally, our podcast is supported by Josh Heddle, Allison McManus, Shane Fetters, Jake McNinch, and Amy Trout, along with all of our awesome patrons. Our patrons not only help us keep the lights on, they also gain special behind-the-screen access, including patron-only podcasts, videos, and more. To become a patron, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/heroesnotincluded. And until next week, be the hero.